And we are going to examine some really interesting photographs from some other place, from another world, not from here. And I think you're going to be quite amazed at some of what you see. My guest this evening, Gordon Giannotto, is going to be talking about these, some of them artifacts and some of them curiosities, really, really curiosities, mysteries. And so he will join us after this upcoming break to talk about some of these things. And, you know, that sort of thing is among my favorite topics. I don't guess I have a favorite, but that's among my favorites. All right, folks, we'll be back.
Joining me for tonight's show is Gordon Giannotto. Gordon, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Kevin. And this is a perfect example of why somebody should subscribe to your TV broadcast, because, you know, we're going to be talking about pictures. And the thing is, once you see these pictures, you know something funny is going up, going on Mars, because the Curiosity rover and every other camera that's been there keeps capturing stuff that you can't explain unless you say, well, maybe there were humanoid extraterrestrials on Mars.
Yeah, exactly. Normally, when you're on the show, not always, but normally, we talk about Planet X and Nibiru. And tonight, we're going to be talking, ladies and gentlemen, as Gordon said, about Mars. As I said before the break, you know, this is among my favorite topics. And one of the reasons, Gordon, that this is one of my favorite topics is because there's so much evidence, overwhelming evidence, of what you just said from Mars. You know, until the Curiosity mission, there had been more missions flown to Venus, not by NASA, but all space agencies combined. If you added up everybody going to Mars and everybody going to Venus, there had been more missions flown to Venus. With the Curiosity mission, Mars is now one up. But the interesting thing about Venus as compared to Mars, even though there have been more missions flown to Venus, or until Curiosity, more missions flown to Venus, we don't have all the pictures that you have from Mars. And I think I know why, and I've written about it, and I've done shows about why. But we have tons and tons and tons of photographs from Mars. Some of them have been doctored, but not all of them. And the ones that have not been doctored show some very amazing things. And Gordon is going to talk with us about some of those things here tonight. Gordon, why are you interested in Mars?
Well, it's absolutely fascinating. You know, it's an Earth-like planet. Obviously, it had shallow oceans all over the place. There's so much evidence of open pit gold mines, or whatever they are. They're open pit mines. They look just like mines you see in Arizona or Mexico or anywhere else. And you've got all these artifacts there, and it's possible, you know, to go to Mars. Now, the thing is the deepest place on Earth is about 200 feet below sea level, and that's it. And I think it's over in Israel or the Middle East somewhere. But on Mars, the deepest place is 12,500 feet below sea level. And that's where, if there is any oxygen on the planet, that's where somebody would go to live. If you were going to move to Mars, you would probably pick exactly where they put the Curiosity rover, which is the Gale Crater. And because it's one of the deepest craters on Mars, it's huge. and it's 12,500 feet deep. It would be protected from the big wind storms. It would have oxygen that would settle down low into these low spots. It might have moisture. Maybe it's dew. You know, it's probably not rain. Although there are pictures of clouds on Mars that these rovers have taken and spacecraft have taken. So there obviously is moisture there. You can see erosion. You can see things that actually look like lakes. I mean, and rivers actually, and a lot of them are dried up. So the thing is if you were to go anywhere on Mars to live, you would go to the Gale Crater. And then NASA just supposedly, quote unquote, randomly picks going to the Gale Crater to look for signs of life. And of course they bring this little thing that's going to examine the soil for calcites and evidence of microbial action, and you know it's so ridiculous. And meanwhile, the thing is driving around, taking pictures of animals, skulls, structures, UFOs. I mean, it's just endless what's on Mars. And if I just talk about it, which you know many of your listeners, that's all they're going to get unless they go searching for Mars anomalies. That's all they're going to get. But the thing is, when you see these pictures, it's just beyond anything that I could make up. And almost every day, there's a new picture that shows something totally unexpected. And there are people out there devoting their time to finding these.
You know, and there are people out there devoting their time to telling us it's Chinese wedding lamps.
Well, exactly. They're making up stuff like crazy. I mean, you know, you go take a little scoop of soil, but on the way there, you photograph some dolls, some jewelry boxes, a communications tower, some domes, some UFOs, clouds in the sky, statue parts, metal pieces. You know, it's hard to even say what some of these are, except that you can say one thing for sure. There is no geologist in the universe that would swear that the weather could create these things.
Yeah. I want to begin, you know, people we have new people that join us for the show each night, and a good number of those folks, this is kind of like, you know, their first dive into the pool. And so it's new information for them, and they're astonished now because you said they've taken pictures of animals. And so I want to ease into that. And I will say, now you sent me the picture of, I don't know if it's a guinea pig or a rabbit or what it is, a hamster, but I've done a show on that. And so I won't be referring to that picture tonight.
We have discussed this before, but the thing is you know, it would be just something like a curiosity, like the rover, curiosity of history, if they found one or two things. But if almost every single time they download pictures from Mars, you get something else that's just consistent with there being life on Mars, and probably in the form of rodents, and evidence that people like humans, I mean, who else has dolls? Who leaves dolls on the surface? And so, you know, I wants to categorize unfamiliar shapes with familiar shapes, and so you're labeling it, but it isn't really there. No, this is way beyond that. This is so far beyond that, and that's why we're touching on it again, is because it just doesn't stop. You'd think it would be like a slap to the face of NASA every time somebody, because these pictures are huge, you know. They take up hundreds of megabytes, and then somebody zooms in and finds this stuff there. And NASA doesn't have it, especially with, I guess, sequestration. They don't have people to go examine every pixel on these pictures.
Yeah, but you know something, even before sequestration, before any of that, they started releasing pictures that they had not airbrushed actually some time ago. And I have said something similar to what you say. And that is, you know, they release these pictures and there's people every day looking at them, zooming in, finding this stuff. And NASA definitely knows I'm sitting out here and that I'm going to – I know they know I'm sitting out here because they log in every night. Well, I don't know about every night, but they log in all the time. Very frequently, and sometimes a whole bunch of NASA computers logged in, and I'm glad to have them. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I'm welcome. We're glad you're here. But they've been not airbrushing for some time on most of these pictures, and I think that's on purpose.
Well, I think it's an introduction. You know, it's like, well, we're not going to really directly admit it, but, you know, you decide.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to start off with a picture that you sent me of skulls. And for those who are listening, we have a picture, black and white. It's a montage. We have a black and white picture from Mars that shows an object laying on the ground. And then we have a zoom of that so that we can see what that is. And it looks like some type of animal skull. Then there is a picture of, I guess, a ram's skull. And then a sketch, a drawing of a ram's skull, you know, here on Earth. So that you can compare the ram's skull with this picture, and they look pretty similar.
Right, and, you know, you could say, well, how do we know anything about this? Or what should we think about all of it? And there is one place that you can go that has an explanation, and that's ZetaTalk.com. Nancy Leader in telepathic communication with human Zetas from Zeta Reticuli has already asked questions from the public on the subject. And they said that about, you know, after the last pole shift, the Anunnaki, the humans from Planet X, were kicked off of the Earth because they were just so unbelievably selfish. They were told, that's it. You've gone way over the line and you've got to leave. And of course, they could only go leave on their planet when it comes through every 3,600 years. So it had already left after the last pole shift in 1650 BC. So it was probably about 3,000 years ago that they were told, that's it, you got to go. And of course, the only place they could go was Mars. So evidently, and this is what the Zetas say, now I wasn't there and you weren't there and none of the listeners were there, so we don't really know, but just listen to this as an explanation, because if you lay that out as a big blank puzzle, you'll see all the pieces fit in there. So that's interesting, and whether it's the whole story, who knows? But what it is that they were kicked off, and well, of course, they knew they couldn't find enough food to feed 7 to 12 foot tall humans on Mars. So they thought, well, let's bring herds of farm animals. And of course, then they go, well, we don't find bedding on Mars, so we probably bring a lot of hay. And I don't know, anyone that's grown up on a farm knows any place you have hay on a farm, you've also got rodents living in the hay.
Okay.
So, they would have brought the bedding, then they would have brought the grain, and anyone that grows up on a farm knows you've got rodents in the grain, too. So, and of course, if they're bringing mass quantities, because they're thinking, well, we have to survive for 3,000 years and be able to have children and live and grow, and what are we going to be able to grow on Mars? Nothing. We're going to have to bring stuff. So we're going to have to bring like 3,000 years worth of grain, 3,000 years worth of bedding, and maybe some wood to build structures with, maybe, and then there they would find a temperate climate, oxygen, and water. So, you know, the whole picture comes together. But then they died out because it was a lot harsher than they thought. So that would be an explanation of why in the hell there's a sheep skull on Mars. But as to whether NASA knows anything about why there's a, probably not, unless they read Zeta Talk. And unless they listen to this, to the Kevin Smith show, they don't know a damn thing about why that was found there. But then you go and look and you find evidence that there are rodents there, a live mouse in one picture. Looks like when the Curiosity rover came up, probably the mouse had never seen anything other than other rocks and other mice. And here, all of a sudden, as a rover, it froze. Like, oh my God, what do I do now? And it got its picture taken. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
now, is that the rodent picture that you sent me?
Well, it looks like a mouse. I mean, it's a picture of a mouse. That's an actual picture from the Curiosity rover. That isn't like painted or something. It was like somebody played with the color to make the make it more evident that it's a mouse. But that's the shape of it. I've seen the original picture, and you can tell right in the original picture, that's a mouse that was walking along, and then the Curiosity rover came along on its tracks, and the mouse went, holy crap, and froze. and there it is, you know.
Been invaded by aliens here.
But then you get these other pictures, some of which I sent you. There's like a rat that looks like it just died. You know, it was out there in the mm-hmm. desert, and it died, and it's dry, and it mummified. And it's just like, doesn't look like it moved recently, but it looks like what you'd call a dried out rat in the desert. And then, because, you know, if whatever they brought, that's what would be there, not a whole life form, because it looks like,
well,
as far as...
Well, now, wait a minute. Let me play the devil's advocate with that a moment.
We don't know.
Yeah, let me play the devil's advocate with a scenario as to why there are animals or remains of animals on Mars. Mars, at one time, NASA admits, had a very much more Earth-like climate. It had water. It was much more temperate than it is today. It had atmosphere, more atmosphere. It has got more atmosphere now than they admit. But they say there was a time when it was virtually Earth-like. And there would have been trees. There would have been other plants. There would have been very likely animal life. So how can we be sure that the animal life that we're discussing, for instance, this ram skull and these rodents, how can we be sure that those are not like left over from better days on Mars?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and you can't be. But the thing is when Nancy was asked by the public what are these things on Mars and why are they there, and then the Zetas answered that the Anunnaki, the selfish humans, were kicked off of Earth because they pretended to be God, and they were very selfish, and they terrorized people, ripped out people's hearts, executed people. And I'm not religious, Kevin, but when Jesus said, you know, starting with me, you no longer have to kill something to worship God. Well, that was the difference right there. It's because fear, people that weren't really God but wanted everybody to think they were God, used fear. So that's where they went way over the line and were kicked off. So what would you bring if you were kicked off Earth and you knew you had the equipment to go to Mars and you could bring some stuff with you? What would you bring? Well, you probably wouldn't bring corn because you need a lot of water. I don't know what you'd bring, but I guess they probably bought a lot of sheep and goats and a lot of feed and hay. And with I imagine they brought rodents.
That scenario is what took place, then that makes sense. But we do know, without an if, that Mars was once very much like Earth.
Oh, definitely.
And so you could have, you very, very well could have leftovers.
You could have had fish.
Yeah. As you said, there are places on Mars where you can see what looks like lakes, and you can even see the waves in the water.
Yeah, even today. Mm-hmm. Even today, modern European space satellite pictures, NASA pictures show what looks plainly. I mean, if you go to Google Earth and you're used to looking at lakes from space, I mean, it looks like lakes on Mars. I'm sorry. There's even some places where it looks like there's a dam and a waterfall. I mean,
yeah.
I knew that you can't show all the pictures that I have, so I sent, you know, the ones that represent
Well, I've done a couple of shows on that one that you're talking about, the dam and the waterfall. And, by the way, on that spit of land that comes out from the shore, there are buildings.
Well, that's the thing. And
okay, we have to take a break. We'll pick up there when we come back. Sorry.
But. And they had a lot of other issues once they came here. But on Mars, they would have had to have like nuclear reactors or burn fossil fuel, of which there was none, and create power plants to run pumps to wash gold. So they obviously were mining gold. There's very many signs of that all over of Mars, that there's gold mines. So what the Zetas said is that they found that under the surface of Mars were all these caverns. So being lazy and selfish, what did they care? They washed the gold down these tubes into the earth. Now, if you've watched any of these gold mines...
Into the earth?
I mean, into this under the surface of Mars.
Okay.
And that was an easy way to get running water, was to let it drain downward. And if you know anything about mined gold, it's 20 times heavier than water. So if you run it down a chute with a series of riffles, the riffles will trap the gold, and the water will carry the dirt and the mud and the clay further along, and you end up, after you stop the water, you pull up the riffles, and there in the little indoor-outdoor carpet is all the gold nuggets and flakes and dust. So that's an easy way to wash out gold ore from dirt. And, of course, it takes tons and tons of dirt to move to get just a little bit of gold. But that was their goal, evidently, was to get gold. So you can see on some of these pictures that I'm sure if anyone's been interested in Mars, they've seen these pictures of these. They look like glass tubes that are sort of like giant earthworms. And people have always wondered, what the hell was that? A tube shuttle? A tunnel to get somewhere? A walkway? Did a train run down there? Or what ran down there? But the Zetas have said they were washing gold down these tunnels. And so therefore, what that means is that if you could somehow restore all that water that's now in these hollow caverns under the surface, you could what they call terraform Mars to have an atmosphere again and change its climate. So
let me tell you about the atmosphere. Since you've mentioned the atmosphere, and I have too, a couple of times. NASA says that atmosphere is so incredibly thin. Their official story is that you can never have water in liquid form out on the surface of Mars. And they say that what happens is called sublimation. So you have ice. Well, then springtime comes and the ice begins to melt. But it doesn't melt into water. It goes straight to vapor because the atmosphere is too thin. Now, that's the official story. However, with the Phoenix lander that landed near the North Pole, they pointed the camera down towards the ground, and in that picture, diagonally across the picture, is one of the legs of the Phoenix lander. And they took a series of pictures in which, if you watch the series, you will see condensation forming on the leg, liquid water droplets, and then trickling.
Yeah.
And that's their own pictures. Water forming on their own lander when their own official story says it can't happen. Furthermore, they have now admitted that they have photographic evidence that there is water on the surface of Mars, liquid water. They have seen it trickle down the sides of a crater. And, okay, so now we've got these two little examples. You know something? If you have water that's a trickle down the side of a crater, I bet you've got a big river somewhere. You know, these things don't happen in isolated incidences. And
you can plainly see these stains going down the crater in the spring, in the summer.
So that means when they've admitted that, it's like, wow, cool. But what they didn't say is, so folks, this proves we've been either wrong or lying to you about the atmosphere and its density. They also built an airplane, and it was a real project. It was really designed. They really built it to fly on Mars, and then the funding got cut to move the funding over to putting up a communications satellite. So how are you going to fly an airplane on Mars without air?
Exactly. It's NASA. It's just a national embarrassment, really, at this point. Yeah. And you see, the European Space Agency had no emotional ties to covering up anything. So their first satellites orbiting Mars took gorgeous pictures of the surface showing valleys that are all green. And there must at least be chlorophyll growing there. There are black and white pictures from NASA showing what evidently look like trees. I mean, Arthur C. Clarke, before he died, said to me, that proves there are trees on Mars. I have no question over it. Yeah. And, you know, he's no dummy. And then you look at the older pictures from Viking when that Richard Hoagland kept, the face on Mars. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you really have to, I don't know if all of your listeners are aware of this, but that face on Mars is looking up into space. It's carved on an island, and it's an island that was in a shallow bay, and you can see the shoreline, and on a projection of land that points towards the island, there's a main avenue, just like in Mexico City, and on either side of it are huge pyramids. And when at the end of the avenue is a gigantic pyramid, and if you stood on the top of that pyramid once a year, when you're looking at the face, which is on its side, looking up at straight into space, through the lips of that statue, you could see Earth rise once a year. And in order to do that, somebody had to cut off the mountains on the other side of the cove, where the Earth rising at a low angle on the horizon would be blocked by mountains. Somebody actually cut them off, and you can see the flat area that was carved into this mountain range to allow somebody standing on the Great Pyramid to look at the face out on this island that stares up into space, and you're looking at it from the side, and once a year, Earth would rise right out of the lips of the face. I mean, this stuff is not accidental. I mean, who designed stuff like that? And so it's not necessarily the Anunnaki who are mining gold. There's evidence that the moon is covered with extra alien ruins as far as the eye can see. And evidently Mars is too. And there's no guarantee that they found interesting pieces of mechanical equipment in 300 million year old coal on Earth. So who knows what's really been going on? And to say man just suddenly appeared 10,000 years ago, or even to say that the Anunnaki created man as gold mining slaves, that can only be the smallest part of a much bigger story that goes way, way back in time. And we're just not getting anything from it. And I don't know what they're afraid of. I really don't. Are they
let's take a look at a picture that shows, I don't know if it's Anunnaki, but folks, when you see what you're about to see, you will immediately have to admit, by golly, somebody's been there. And this looks like a brass-colored teapot.
Yeah, I call that a jewelry box, but who knows what it is exactly, but it could be like a thing that you put a salve or a cream in. Maybe it's small and it hangs on your necklace, or maybe it's larger and you put it on your bedstand, or maybe it's larger and you put it on your bureau. But that is clearly because I have made lost wax objects. So what you do is you carve your object in wax, then you pour this really fine plaster around it, and when it's completely dry, then you heat it and melt the wax out. Then you heat the gold, and you pour the gold into where the wax was, and then when that cools, you break off the plaster, and you have this perfectly made gold object, and that's called the lost wax process. It's well known on Earth. Some of the most beautiful jewelry ever seen on Earth is made from the lost wax process. And, reproductions of things right from nature, or leaves that look so real that it's almost as if they grew on a tree, except they're made of gold. That's what this object is. This is made by somebody. I've made lost wax objects in silver and in gold, and that's what that is. I have no question over it. I don't even think anybody can discuss that it's not made by somebody. It's artistic. It's got a top. It's got a bottom. It's got little designs around it. It looks cracked in one place. Mm-hmm. It looks imperfect, just the way wax would be. If you're 7 to 10 feet tall, you've got big hands. Maybe they weren't capable of doing fine work. Whereas these days, a lot of jewelry is still made lost wax, but they do it in factories, and machines turn out identical wax rings, like high school graduation rings. They're made using lost wax.
Was this picture taken by Curiosity or by one of the others?
That was just the rover's just cruising along, takes a picture, gets closer, takes another picture, gets closer, takes another picture. It's like, are you kidding? I mean, and the thing is you, when you look at that, you would say, look, if you owned it and you dropped it, I guarantee you there's no way you'd leave it on the ground. So why is it there?
Well, let's talk about that. Why do you think it's there?
I think it was there because these people moved to Mars. They brought a lot of stuff with them, and then they died out. And, you know, it just reached a point where maybe a guy died in the desert and he had a bag and stuff fell out, or he fell off a cliff and died and his bag bounced off some rocks and pieces. You know, because the rover's like traveling. It isn't like going, oh, look, a jewelry box. Let's study the whole area. Let's mark off a 300-foot by 300-foot area and photograph every square inch of that. No, NASA would die if they did that. So they just like keep on driving. You know, we're the Gale Crater's big, the floor of it's huge, hundreds of miles. We're just maybe 100 miles, I guess, but we're just gonna keep on going. So this is just stuff caught in passing, like you're on a long car trip and you just have your camera and you shoot out the window at the world's biggest ball of string, or, you know, and then you show it to your friends and like, what's that? So This is, you know, there isn't any explanation for it. That's what's so frustrating, because
frustrating to me is that these guys at NASA are seeing this stuff almost in real time. They know it's there, they're looking at it, and they have an oh my god moment. And they don't send the rover over to explore that object. They just shoot a few pictures and move on.
Well, see, we don't really know. They could have backed up and driven around and photographed everything within 300 feet of that and found some skeletons, or who knows what they could have found. But they could be doing that and just not telling us. I don't know, you know.
That's an amazing object. That really is an amazing object.
And, you know, it's really amazing. If you found that in an Egyptian tomb or a Mayan tomb or a Peruvian tomb, you'd go, wow, this just shows what level of quality work they were doing and how nice their treasures were.
Well, I've said this about other things that Curiosity has photographed, and we do have a break coming. And that is, they said part of the mission is to see if life ever existed there and if it's possible that it could exist today. I'd say this picture is mission over. That proves somebody intelligent has been there. So could it ever have supported life? Well, somebody brought this there. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is the Kevin Smith, and we're talking this evening about Mars and some really interesting photographs that have come back from primarily the Curiosity rover, but all of the rovers and all the satellites that have been taking pictures of Mars have sent back pictures that show things that don't fit the official story. Gordon, as we went away for break, you and I had been talking about this object that I think you call it the jewelry box.
Yeah, I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, you know, when we zoom in on it, you can see right on that little knob knot thing at the top, looks like a little hook.
Yeah, I mean, it like a little handle for you. Take that, grab that, and take the top off. And maybe in there's some other jewelry, like some rings, or maybe there's some salve to put on your face in the dry climate. I don't know what it is.
On the right end of that little knob you're talking about that's sticking up is a hook.
Yeah.
And you could hang that, for instance, on a chain about your neck. Or you could hang it on... If it's ornamental, I guess you could hang it on a chain that's hanging in your house or whatever. I don't know.
Could be an incense burner. It could be something that you fasten to the wall and hang your coat on.
Who knows? Who knows?
But it's clearly, I mean, I there's such a close-up picture of it that shows it in detail, that's so extreme that you realize... This is no act of nature. This was a real humanoid being put this there. It wasn't a being with claws. It wasn't a bird. It wasn't something like a rodent or something. This is something that had hands and made it and then obviously appreciated it and used it. And then somehow it got separated, and there it is out in the floor of this 12,000-foot deep crater in Mars. The one place where if you were going to look for life on Mars, that's where you'd go look. And I'm not talking about microbes. But I'm talking about evidence. You know, does anybody really think NASA doesn't know that extraterrestrials have been to Mars and that this crater would be one of the most likely places?
Well, I'm quite certain they know that. And there have been some signs of current life there. You mentioned birds. You sent me a picture. This is one. Most of these pictures I have seen before. But this one.
This is new, yeah.
Yeah, I have not seen this one before. So, folks, what we're looking at, again, a montage, and all of it would not fit on our screen. You can see there is a picture at the bottom that's cut off. But these are pictures of, in the upper left-hand corner, we have a hawk. And on the right side, we have a hawk. Pictures from Earth. These are hawks on Earth. And then we have a picture from Mars. And it shows what appears to be a hawk.
Exactly.
Why do you, again, let me play the devil's advocate. Why do we not think, well, it's a curious shape, but that's probably just rock?
Well, it seems to have two legs and either two forelegs or else its wing is folded against its breast to keep itself warm. Maybe it's a little bit cool right there and it's just keeping warm. And on the rock below that is a dark object that could be its mate, another hawk, because hawks will fly in pairs. Ravens will fly in pairs. There's a lot of birds that when they're hunting for food, they'll go out together. So that could be it. Or that could be a giant rodent. It's really hard to tell what the...
Well, I've zoomed in on it and our TV audience is now seeing it. And I think it's a piece of machinery. We see the dark object that you're talking about, but immediately below that, there is a whitish-colored rectangular area that has spikes sticking up.
Exactly. And off to the left of that is two rocks, and in between it looks like a leg bone from a chicken.
Well, let me see about that. Off to the left, yes.
You know,
that, yes, I had not noticed that. Take a look at that, folks.
If I give you a chicken leg and you ate it all and put the bone down, that's what it looks like. I'm sorry, but, you know. So,
wow.
But the thing is we know, we don't see any signs of birds in the sky or nests or anything like that, but... And we never saw anything until the Curiosity rover, and not anywhere else, but deep down in this crater that would have a lot of moisture and a lot of air, we find this stuff. And so you've got to imagine that, okay, maybe rodents evolved, maybe, you know, how come there's not all the rest of the stuff that evolves when you've got, like, mammals evolving or when you've got dinosaurs turning into birds? How come you don't have all the background stuff? How come you don't see the bones from that?
Because maybe it didn't. Maybe evolution is fiction.
Well, the thing is the more likely thing is that somebody brought this stuff there. And why would they bring it there? Well, if you've got a rodent problem, and let's say that you've taken all that you can bring for food and bedding and animals, and you can't go back. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know all the circumstances of it, but let's say that you couldn't go back to get more, and you're stuck there on Mars. You might think, well, gee, I wish I had a house cat, because I don't know about you, but I've got five cats, and I've got no mice right around my house. I've got lots of mice out in the fields, but they're excellent mousers. But there's no sign of, like, cats on Mars. It's like, it'd be kind of cute if there were, because I love cat pictures. But maybe they would have brought hawks and say, well, there's the only way we can control the rodent. Can you picture 7 to 12 foot people running around trying to catch mice with their hands? Maybe it was like a little mini ark, and they said, well, we'll bring a whole little cluster of things, and hopefully we'll be able to survive with that.
Do you, personally, do you buy the story of the a race of beings called the Anunnaki who were here on Earth and screwed up and got kicked off of Earth by other extraterrestrials and they went to Mars? I mean, that whole scenario, do you buy that?
Well, I do, because first of all, as your listeners know who have heard me on before, I have a science background, and at the same time that I was interested in astronomy and space science and I was picked as a future astronaut, I began to have extraterrestrial contacts. So I've had them all my life. I wish I could just say, well, let's have a ship in my yard and it would appear, or let's do this or let's do that. And so I never know. It's, obviously, I have no control over when something happens, but I feel that it's made me a more caring, well-adjusted person, and I feel very happy in my life and understanding. And this is all consistent that, you know, and the question, once you accept that there could be mice on Mars or that there's jewelry boxes on Mars, you must make the next step, which is, when have all these people been here on Earth, and what have they done, and have all of them left? Aren't there some still here? And I'll tell you right now, the Earth has billions of extraterrestrials here. Most of them are on the fourth dimension where you can't see them. I'm sure the government, which is very selfish, contacted the selfish ones, because I believe like attracts like. So, you know, these thoughts, you know, you can't just look at these pictures and go, well, that's interesting, what's for dinner? You've got to really say, wow, this opens up a whole new area. Like, what's going on in our moon? What are some of these things we find on Earth? Who built them? Did they ever leave? Or, you know, and then you wonder, like, where's the genetic engineering? Like, is evolution the way the scientists portray it possible? Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think there is a certain amount of evolution that goes on, but it would take so long to occur. And then if you have people coming down and messing with it, then, of course, it speeds up. And then there's whole new groups. Like, we went from reptilians to mammals. I mean, how'd that happen? You know, nobody.
Well, not only how did that happen, but why aren't there any trans-species fossils?
Well, that's the point, is there's no missing links. None. Mm-hmm. So you clearly have this, you know, creation versus evolution. And, you know, the creation is usually thought of as some religion saying, well, God created the Earth in 7 days. Well, I will never believe that. I mean, the universe, they've dated it to about 16 billion years, and the Earth about 4 billion years. So we're the newcomer on the block. Who knows what? I mean, look at what we've accomplished in 100 years of science. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the universe accomplished in 12 billion years before Earth started? So that could explain easily why you find these mechanical devices in coal that's 300 million years old. You find modern human skeletons in granite that's 500 million years old. I mean, all you got to do is read that book by Michael Cremo, Forbidden Archaeology, and you see that it's a full-time campaign to cover this stuff up. And why? I know you have an open mind. I'm assuming your listeners wouldn't be listening to the show unless they have open minds. Everyone should just go try and convince everyone that they know that the whole story hasn't been told. You know, and this
or
is
that, even more accurately, the story you've been told is almost 100% fiction. We have to take a break, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. My best wishes, hopes, prayers, dreams, and best energies, all aimed at hoping that you never suffer that tragedy again. We're talking about weird stuff on Mars this evening, and my guest is Gordon Gianinotto. And, you know, we're talking about some of the things that show up in pictures from Mars that have absolutely no reason to be there, according to the official explanations. Okay, I just was looking quickly here at a flash message, which we will get to very soon. It's from Kate in Norway, and Kate, we'll get to your flash message here in just a moment. Gordon, let me throw something your direction and see what you think about this. You remember the movie, a couple of movies that were made, Planet of the Apes? You remember that? Gordon, we're not getting any of your audio. Okay, well, I guess we lost Gordon. We will try to get him back, and meanwhile, let me finish the thought for you. That they made these movies, The Planet of the Apes, and in that scenario, you had a forbidden zone, and on the Planet of the Apes, you had this forbidden zone, and the great apes tried to keep everybody out of the forbidden zone, and they didn't. I mean, there were big penalties for anybody going into the forbidden zone. Now, the reason was they had a system going where they were teaching that, you know, the apes were the most highly evolved, most intelligent of all the beings ever anywhere. And so they didn't want anybody going into the forbidden zone because there was absolute proof out there that before the apes, the humans were there and were highly intelligent, and they were trying to keep that knowledge from their population. Well, we're kind of like on the Planet of the Apes, and there's a forbidden zone. That forbidden zone is all about, you know, whether or not there are other intelligent species out there, and not only are there, have they visited here? And if they have visited here, that's a problem. And the reason that's a problem is because it proves we're not the top of the heap. So we have a Planet of the Apes scenario going on, and there's a forbidden zone, and in this forbidden zone is the proof that we're not the top of the heap. I guess we've perhaps gotten into territory that somebody out there doesn't want us talking about, because what's happening, I'm getting Gordon back on Skype over here, and it flashes on, he's there, and then it goes away and says we have an internet connection problem, and then it tries to reconnect and all of that. So we are trying to get him back online. He's there right now, but it's having a difficult time getting a good connection with him. So I guess we're getting some help from outside sources, from the great apes, no doubt. But what we're going to do, we'll keep trying to get him back online, but what we're trying to do, or what we're going to do as we try to get him back online, is open up the telephone lines and ask you to join in this conversation. And I don't know, Gordon, can you hear me?
Okay, back to silver bars, Kevin.
Okay.
Thank God.
Okay. I said maybe the great apes that are trying to keep us out of the forbidden zone are interfering with your connection there this evening. Are you there, Gordon?
Yeah, you never know what's going on. I've shared internet, so I get it broadcast from a tower, and at 11 o'clock Eastern, I guess people finish watching shows, and then they check their email, and it gave me red bars for a while, so I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, and if you will, tell us your first name and from where are you calling.
Absolutely, Kevin. This is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
And, hey, I'd like to say hi to Kate, too, in Norway.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the exciting things about the Kevin Smith community is that you know people all over the world through the Kevin Smith Show. Maybe you don't meet him in person, but you meet him at the level of the mind. And I just wanted to say hi to Kate.
Yeah, that's right. You know, she's one of our members.
Oh, I know that. She's one of my friends on your site. I have friended Kate.
Good. Good.
Yep.
What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I'd like to know, or I'd like you to know that I appreciate you presenting us with some more of this fascinating footage from Mars. You know, Kevin, you know, you have a history of giving us a panoramic view of so much that's going on Mars. I feel like if I got dropped on Mars in the Gale Crater, I could find my way around, you know, just based on what you've given us, Kevin. And I appreciate that. And this is just one more sample. Now, having said that, let me say this, and Mr. Johnny Noto, I appreciate the photographs you've given us, and more smoking guns is all I can say. You know, that there's more on Mars than NASA would have us believe. Yeah. And I think NASA's well aware that there's more going on Mars as well. But having said that, I just have to say I cannot buy into the Zeta Talk narrative that's draped over this. You know, I can't do that, and you tend to lose me there. But at any rate, you know, these are excellent pictures, and I appreciate your research into this and bringing these pictures before us. And carrying Kevin's message yet one step further.
Gordon, are you back with us? Well,
thank you.
Yeah, we're not hearing you, Gordon. Yeah, there you go. Go ahead. We're not getting your audio. It's breaking up really bad. But Steve, let me ask you this: while we're trying to work through these problems on the internet, let me ask you this, Steve.
Okay.
The Zeta Talk thing. If you don't buy that scenario, which is fine, I'm going to put the picture back up here of this thing that Gordon calls a jewelry box. And I've described it. I said it's like a brass ornament, and it's highly decorated, highly ornate. And there it is, sitting right out on the surface of Mars. So if the Zeta scenario about the Anunnaki and all of that, if you don't buy that, so let me ask you to suggest, how do you think this got there?
Oh, well, there are a lot of different scenarios that you could use. One being that, you know, there sits Mars, a big old planet in its own right. And as NASA is quick to admit, though they don't draw the right conclusions from it, they're quick to admit that Mars was very much like us at one time. Consequently, it probably had its own population of intelligent life forms in varying degrees. It probably had its domestic animals. It had its human or humanoid citizens who lived there just like we live here, you know, and all this stuff could be relics from them. You know, as we know, the surface of Mars shows evidence of it having experienced a terrible disaster. It lost a good bit of its atmosphere and a good bit of its moisture and, you know, scarred it terribly. So it could be just people who lived on Mars. I'll throw another possible scenario at you. It could be us. You know, we have had many extinction-level events or near-extinction-level events right here on Earth. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of evidence, as Michael Cremo has revealed, and I appreciate Gordon Johnny Noto mentioning Michael Cremo. His work has revealed lots of relics from deep, deep, deep in the Earth at levels going back millions of years that are evidence of advanced civilizations having been here. And if those advanced civilizations were here, they probably had space travel. Possibly even intergalactic. Who knows? You know, they might have mastered all kinds of things. And when they saw disaster coming, they beat feet off the planet. You know, they knew something was coming that they weren't going to be able to reverse. So, you know, here sits Mars. They could well have gone to Mars. And many of the extraterrestrials we're seeing now and the UFOs may be us. You know, it may be previous civilizations who lived here, you know, a lot of the human-like extraterrestrials may be previous indurations of humanity on Earth that left and we're seeing him come back. So that's yet another uh-huh. possible scenario. You know what I you know, but these are all thought exercises, Kevin. I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm channeling this, and they have to believe it or they're crazy. You know, I don't know, but these are just thought exercises, and there are a lot of different ones. I'm sure a lot of your viewers could call in and give you yet other scenarios that would all differ from mine and from the Zeta Talk message.
Gordon, are you back with us? We're still not getting any audio from Gordon.
Who are you?
So we get like a syllable once in a while. All right, Gordon, I'm going to go ahead and disconnect, and I will try to call you again here and see if we can get you. Do you have any doubt when we look at this jewel box that, well, whatever it is, do you have any doubt that that is a manufactured work of art?
Kevin, absolutely that's a manufactured work of art. I mean, that might as well be the painting of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel or something. I mean, that is so obviously manufactured. You know, I mean, my gosh. You know, we'd have to speculate as to what its purpose is, but there is absolutely no denying, you know, that didn't just happen by erosion, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Steve, I want to thank you for the call.
Absolutely, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Yeah, the internet connection problems are still happening over on our connection with Gordon. And I do not know why. You know, just as we got ready to start taking calls, that began happening. He is online with me. I do not know if we can get audio from him, but we'll try it again. Gordon, are you able to send us any audio? Well, the answer is no. We're not hearing any audio from you. So Gordon, here's the plan. We will disconnect, and in a few minutes, unannounced, I will call you again. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Lasha from Vancouver.
Hello, Lasha.
And I think it's official. I'm officially addicted to the Kevin Smith Show.
Oh, you think?
You what? Know, looking at this picture, mm-hmm. it's very interesting. The close-up of it,
uh-huh.
it looks like that little knob on the top
uh-huh.
is actually, to me, it looks like it's a little ceramic animal. And that round bit is its horn. And if you look at what's designed around the edge, it looks like the horns of an animal imprinted around. Like I
actually see what you're talking about. We're looking kind of at the back of the animal towards the front. As it moves to the right, that's towards the front.
Yeah.
And then what I said looks like a hook is like a ram's horn, and the shape of that head looks like a ram's head.
And also the shape of that head is what's imprinted around the edge of the metal thing.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, like if you look at the head, if you imagine you're looking at it straight on,
yeah,
that's the shape that the head would look like around it. So that might give us some idea of some of what the animals were like on Mars. But you know, if you zoom out, Kevin, it looks to me as if there's a few rocks around it that are absolutely square. I think this was some sort of metal bit of artwork that was inlaid into a tile. And those are the remnants of the tile.
Hmm.
Or a piece of cement or something.
That
you know, because it
be.
Looks like, I don't know, something that would ordain a wall or, you know, it's...
And then again, this entire thing...
A box, it would have been opened or, you know, the weathering over so many years would have opened it a little bit or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
I think it's a bead or
well, something that's... Well, here's another possibility. It's sitting right out there on the surface, but maybe not. What we're looking at may be the top ornament to something bigger that's under the dirt.
That's true. That's true. But one thing I think is that if I were an artist, I know on Earth, and I don't know if Martians were similar to Earthlings, but I know that you would take an animal and you'd look at the shapes of it, and that's how you'd, you know, if you look at Native American art, that's kind of what they do. They take the shape of an animal and they sort of celebrate it in art.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to zoom in on that, what you think is possibly an animal up on the top of that. Not an animal, but the figure of an animal right up on top.
Kind of like a water buffalo or a little, you know,
by golly, I think you're right. I think you're right. I've zoomed in on that. I think that is an animal.
Do you see even there's another horn on the other side, if maybe?
Yeah, you can see where it comes up, and it could curve over to the other side there.
And if you look at even the artwork that's around the edge of the disc, there's a knob in the middle, like where the between the horns would be.
Uh-huh.
Like yeah. You're looking at the horns and the skull of this animal.
Mm-hmm. That
is. And the artwork.
Yeah. Wow, that is so cool. I think we have Gordon back with us now. No?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes, I can. So, Gordon, have you been able to hear what we were talking about with this jewelry box? Well, he's gone again.
Oh, we lost him again.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Lasha has called in, and she said that thing that we have said was a knob on the top and it's got a hook on it. She said, I think that's the shape of an animal. That hook is like a horn, like the ram's horn. And I've zoomed in on it, and by golly, the thing looks like a ram.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like a little armadillo ram with horns.
Armadillo ram. Now,
It doesn't have hair. It looks like maybe...
Well, this appears to be made out of some type of metal, brass or something. So it might be because of that you don't see hair.
I think it was something inlaid into a piece of tile or something.
Well, it
you
might
know,
be.
That the tile might have broken and scattered away.
Yeah.
And that's what's left.
I think that's a very good observation. I had not noticed that. Not at all. But yeah, that does look like an animal up there. So who do you think did it?
Pardon me?
Who do you think did it?
Well, you know, Kevin, I've remote viewed Mars quite a bit. And I think there was a very a very strongly developed society there that millions of years ago died. And, I've seen a lot of stuff as I've remote viewed it, and I think that these were people that were very much, there were small groups of them that would live in kind of communities, but a lot of them were kind of nomadic.
Okay.
And they were very much into philosophy and thought, this kind of thing, and they had a very distinguished culture.
All right, so let me ask you this, and then we'll have to move on. But one of the pictures that Gordon has presented to us is a picture of something that pretty by golly looks like a hawk. What do you think?
Do you know what? All those pictures together, it looks to me as if that's another grave that's been disturbed. That those might be bones of something's back.
The hawk?
Like, some sort of bone, like it could be a bunch of bones. And it looks where this picture was taken too. Is there's a lot of stone around it, and it's sort of all inlaid there.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if that's, especially the picture that's down lower, the one with the dark bit and the chicken bone.
Uh huh.
That looked to me like a bunch of bones, actually.
Well, now that does. That definitely looks like bones down there.
Doesn't it?
And let me zoom in on that. There we go.
See, that could be a stone grave.
Hmm.
Yeah, that could be a skull right there.
On the left or on the right?
On the left.
Uh-huh.
You know, with a... I mean, that... oddly shaped rock with a round bit, and then it looks almost like a face.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a grave. I think that's a grave.
That may be.
You know, and the thing that looked like kind of like the, you know, the dark bit, and then there's a light bit that looks kind of mechanical.
Uh-huh.
That could very easily be a pelvic bone.
It's got spikes on it.
Do you see what I mean?
Well, you're talking about what's in the red circle?
Yes.
Yeah, well, the problem with that being a pelvic bone is it's got spikes sticking up.
True.
Now, Martians might have spiked pelvises, which may be why they're all dead.
Right. It's just so painful to walk when you have spikes in your pelvis.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kevin, because I remote viewed Mars, and I can tell you, did you ever see this movie, Joe Carter or John Carter or something?
Yeah, I did.
And the way they walk on Mars is they have to shuffle, because then if you move a certain way, you'll go way out into the and jump really far.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what they did.
Really?
Absolutely.
Cool.
They weren't.
And they didn't even have Nikes either, did they?
Some of them did.
They didn't even have Nikes either.
Yeah.
All right, I got to run. I want to thank you for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
Bye.
All right, we're going to try again and see if Gordon is able to get us any audio. Gordon, I've got you on Skype, and the calls.
Silver bars. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I've been on your show quite a bit, and I've been putting up with this certain internet quality. I live on a mountaintop in the middle of the main coast, so I got to take all I can get, and that's a broadcast from an island 7 miles away towards this mountaintop. And within the next month, hopefully, I've already signed all the agreements. I have a tower in my north field, and I'm going to get double the bandwidth and unlimited use, and it'll be 500 feet away instead of 7 miles. And hopefully nobody else will have the level of service I do. But it's so predictable that when the 11 o'clock news comes on, people go check their emails, and God knows what they're downloading.
All right, we have to take a break. Caller, you hang on. Kate, hang on. Your flash message is coming up real soon. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And Gordon, we had to take a break just as you started to speak. So go ahead and wrap up your thought, and we're going to get to this flash message and then our caller. Well, we have no audio from Gordon again.
Okay. Hi, do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I understand that, you know, people might be reluctant to accept what the Zetas say and stuff like that. But the thing is who else is explaining this? There's a lot of theories out there, but they've written out the whole scenario. They were there for millions of years mining gold. Then they ruined their atmosphere and they had to move to Earth. Then they were here and they got tired of mining them for themselves. So they said, well, why don't we create humans and have gold mining slaves? Then they were so ridiculously cruel and heartless and fearsome that they were kicked off. All of this fits this story. So I don't mind, you know, somebody being reluctant to say, well, the Zetas probably, you know, I don't like that story. Well, okay, you don't, but the thing is nobody else has any good explanation of the whole scenario from beginning from A to Z, and they do. So I say, if somebody can come up with a better story, I'm all ears. I'm waiting myself if there's another alternative explanation. But right now, this fits pretty well, so.
Okay, so let's go to our flash message very quickly, and our caller is still holding. The flash message from Kate in Norway is referencing a concert that was done by Vangelis and from the Temple of Zeus. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal concert. Anybody that hasn't seen it, you can find it on the internet. Go watch that concert. Listen to that concert. It is absolutely without peer. It is just phenomenal. But she says, so, and by the way, it was sponsored by NASA, and they beamed live, they beamed that concert direct to Mars. And so she says, so who did they beam the concert to if there's nobody on Mars? Somebody has to be there, right? Or what? Or was it just to mislead us here on Earth? What do you and your guests think about that? Good show. Kate, thank you for the flash message. I think there's somebody there.
Well, that's a really interesting question, Kate. And listen, I know there's extraterrestrials here on Earth, so I have no doubt they're on the Moon and Mars, too. So I don't know what NASA's trying to pull. It just, day by day, everything they do seems more and more ridiculous. And, you know, when some of this stuff really does come out, I mean, who's going to ever believe another word they say? That's my opinion. And I haven't seen the concert. I didn't know about that. That's extremely interesting. I'm going to look into it. So next time I'm on your show, if some of that comes up again, I will know about it. But
and I'll tell you something. This is one you'll really enjoy just doing some research on, because once you fire that concert up, you're going to be addicted right to the end. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Well, do your guests know what a great musician you are?
No.
Well,
that's
he is.
Because I'm not.
Well, listen, he does everything. He plays, he writes, he sings. You're quite talented.
Well, thank you. Let's take our caller, and then we can talk about whatever we want to. But I want to hear what the caller has on his mind, and he's been holding for a while. I happen to know who it is because during the break, I spoke to him on the phone and asked him if I could do the flash message first. It's Brent from Wyoming. Brent, welcome.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Gordon. How you doing?
Hi, Brent.
Could you put that picture of the skulls up again?
Now, which skull?
Which?
The sheep?
The sheep skull?
Yeah, the one with the collage type thing.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if this is universally true, but when I was growing up, I was always told that a carnivore's eyes are in the front of its head, and a herbivore's eyes are in the side of its head. That skull is a carnivore.
Hmm. Well, and it does have a ridge right in the center of the head that the sheep skull doesn't have. You see that ridge?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's say it's hard to tell. And the thing is, you know, all these NASA and ESA, European Space Agency photographs have identifying numbers, and people just start slinging this stuff around, and they never, ever give the numbers. If I had the numbers, because I'm so busy, I don't have the patience to go through millions of pictures and look for the one that they're talking about. I just wish it was a rule that if you have a picture from Mars and you're talking about it, give us the damn number so we can look it up ourselves, because these things are like huge 20 megabyte pictures, 100 megabyte pictures. We could zoom in on this stuff endlessly and get a much better idea of what it is.
Well, and our audience knows when we're dealing with pictures that I have come up with, you know, that I've looked at, I track them down at NASA. I get the not only the picture number, I put the link on the screen so you can go get it. But you're right. A lot of these pictures show up and people don't give you the reference. However, that one I have seen, and I have seen it at NASA. But I'm not the one who generated it for tonight's show, and so I didn't have the link to give you. But I have seen that.
And I don't have. Sorry. But there's no telling that is a sheep or a goat, but yet, you know, what is it? Obviously, it's a skull. I mean, we can agree on that. And what the hell is a skull doing on Mars?
Yeah. Now, here's something else for you to think about. If you're going to, you said the reason they didn't take crops or seeds is because of water. If you're going to take livestock, you also need water, unless you're going to eat jerky for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah, no, that's That's a good point, because if there's water anywhere, it would be down 12,500 feet below sea level where the Gale crater is. And you can look in lots of other craters all over.
We just lost your audio again. I think the point he's making is that there very likely was water at that point.
Yeah. But the other point I was going to make is Lasha hit that one square on the head. You want to know what kind of animal that might have been? You remember the picture of the things that are going across the snow?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. It does look like them. It
Bingo.
Sure does.
Lasha, good show.
Yeah. Gordon, are you back? Is your audio back?
No.
Yeah,
no.
It is.
Oh, I'm back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brent just made the point. There's a picture of a herd of something crossing the snow on Mars, and they look like this thing that's on the top of the jewel box.
Yeah, what it does is there's so many questions that need to be answered, but we know that NASA's not telling us. And the thing is, if you've noticed, NASA just announced yesterday there's no way NASA's going back to the moon. But they've said that everyone's interested in going to Mars, including the United States. So why is that? And the reason why is because that's a place where you could live. And maybe if the rover continues, they'll find an old field of wheat that was a mile across. I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah, I think they're probably not going back to the moon because they've been told to stay off.
Yeah.
And Kevin, did you get that picture I sent you of a communications tower on Mars?
Yeah.
Well, maybe NASA was beaming that concert to that communications tower and it was a relay to something else. I have no idea.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that there are living beings, intelligent beings, either on Mars or in Mars. I can't say that I believe that. I can't say that I can prove that. I'm saying I have no doubt. It would not surprise me at all.
Well, look at that guy that England will not extradite back to the United States, who supposedly broke into the Pentagon and found the list of the U.S. Navy off-planet ships with all of their crews, their pay scale, and everything. And he hacked into it, and the United States wants him back to probably put him in solitary for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
McKinnon, I think his name is.
That's right.
And the UK has said they're not going to extradite him. So how frustrating is that? But so obviously he's not telling us any more than what we already know, which is that he supposedly went into the Pentagon Navy records, found a list of off-planet ships, and then the crew on them and the pay scale.
Mm-hmm.
All the officers and the listing of their names and their rank and how much pay they get, and their length of service, all the service records for all the Navy crew of off-planet ships. So, you know, this just gets curiouser and curiouser. And you've got the stories of people that say there was a Mars jump room, and even the president went there with the CIA back in 1980 or something. But, you know, there are a lot of stories out there, but they're all spelling basically that everything we've been told that we should be thinking about Mars is a lie, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brent, did you have another question or comment?
No, that was it.
All right, before you go, I want to ask you, what do you think about the chicken bone?
The chicken bone? Mm-hmm. Looks good to me. It looks like it's been kind of picked clean, though.
It does. Yeah. Now, Lasha said this whole thing looks like a pile of bones, like it was a grave, had been a grave.
Or lunch. How about lunch?
Might be that.
I would almost agree with that, except for that I want to call it an angle iron that's circled in red.
Uh-huh.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, but that other pile over there by the where the chicken bone is, what about that stuff?
I honestly don't know. It could be rocks. That thing does kind of look like a monkey skull, but I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, but if it's if that is a skull, then it looks like it was in a kind of a oblong capsule that has been broken open. Look yeah. just above its head.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of a almost shaped like a helmet.
Yeah, that's why I say it kind of looks like a monkey skull.
Yeah. All right, man, thanks for the call.
Yep. Okay,
all right. Bye. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can use that telephone number. It does work. On the other hand, it can be expensive to call internationally like that. And so if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can use the flash message option on my website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Doc from Arkansas.
Hello, Doc.
I am calling about the jewelry box, I think that's what you're calling it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what Gordon said it looks like.
Yeah,
that to him.
I call it that, but I can't tell you that it's a jewelry box, but to me, that's the easiest thing. If I went into like a gift store or someplace that had brass objects from India or a jewelry store, then I would expect to see something like that. Wouldn't surprise me if I did.
All right, Doc, what's
well,
on your mind?
I was thinking about something else for you.
All right.
Maybe on Mars, maybe there was giants on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a zoomed-in picture of a button.
Of a button. What? A button.
Yeah, button. Yeah. See, that's
you know,
exactly
it looks
you
like,
know,
you know,
we don't
I've seen buttons with designs
stuff.
And pictures like water buffaloes on them, and mm-hmm. I zoomed in on it and everything, and it looks like the third design over there. It almost looks like a goose or a duck on the third design over.
Okay.
And see, that would explain why it's on the ground, is people pop buttons all the time and can't find them.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Doc, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, have a good one.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we are talking about really strange things seen in pictures from Mars. And my guest is Gordon Gianni Noto. We're on final approach. We only have a few minutes left. We have a caller on hold and a flash message. We're going to read the flash message. He really doesn't ask us for a response, so I'll read this flash message very quickly. And then we'll go to the telephone. This is from Nick in the United Kingdom. Hi, Kevin. The photograph of the decorated bowl is truly outstanding and will surely transform our understanding of how we relate to the cosmos. The individual patterns on the bowl look like serpents biting their tails. Well, let me just bring that up. Looks like serpents biting their tails, which is a very common religious and mythological symbol representing eternity. By golly, I see a serpent with his mouth open biting what looks like his tail. I sure do.
That's a great comment. Really great.
Yeah. So, Nick, thanks very much for that comment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi, Mr. Gianni Noto. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. That last statement from Nick, boy, you know what? It just like shined a light, right? You know, a light bulb just went off because it sure does look like that.
And, yeah.
I don't think it's
okay. Well, do you see a serpent with his mouth open? You can see his eye.
Oh, sure.
His...
Yeah, got the eye on one side and mm-hmm. the tail on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense about you know the immortality and stuff. I don't think it's a button because if that button was attached to clothing, that ornate stuff would be inside facing the fabric. And I usually buttons are ornated on the outside where, you know, you could see them.
Okay.
So I do think it's more some type of artwork.
Uh-huh.
And in the fact that it's artwork, really like Gordon said, you know, it's there for somebody to appreciate if it has some functionality, and it's not like a rock you know, where you're speculating on whether it's real or, you know, natural or not. This is totally unnatural.
Oh, yeah. It's totally, completely, absolutely not nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also brings out the point of why NASA would let this photograph go on the Internet.
Well,
because what I'm saying there is that's obviously made.
Yeah. But NASA's been doing that. You know, I've commented about that on the show a couple of times, more than a
yes,
couple.
Yes, you have, and it almost speaks of disclosure. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you know, it's why not just say it?
I asked a professor one time. I had discovered something. I'm not going into detail here, but I had discovered something from reading Hebrew. And so I talked with the professor who he's dead now, but at the time he was renowned as the expert on the Hebrew language, the expert in the world. And he was so renowned, so recognized, not only in the United States, but by the Israeli government. So I asked him, and he said, that's correct. He said, what you have discovered, that's correct. And I said, well, why don't you teach this? And he said, you found it, didn't you? I said, yes. He said, who taught you to read Hebrew? I said, well, you did. He said, those who are supposed to know will find it.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting, and I understand where you're saying on that. It just it seems like here, you know, a lot of people should know.
Yeah,
but
you know, you can spoon feed a mushroom, and they still won't know when you get through.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But I think I want to applaud NASA for releasing these pictures.
Yeah, it's a release. It's not a mistake. That's for sure.
Uh huh. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like Gordon said with his whole scenario on what happened, how the Zetas, how their answer seems to fit all the pieces. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I kind of agree with Gordon. If you have a scenario that covers all the different pieces, maybe that scenario is true.
Well, until someone has another scenario that puts all the pieces together, perhaps in another way. If you've just got one scenario available, well, okay, you got one, you know. And
also on that jewelry box
uh-huh.
or whatever. To me, that looks like it's gold. And
well,
I'm not sure, but it's hard to tell.
I'm sure it's gold because anything else would have tarnished in one way or another.
Gordon, that's what I was going to get at, and so I would imagine that gold, if the Anunnakis were digging for gold, that would be as valuable then as it is, you know, there as it is here.
Exactly.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
okay, thank you, and thank you, Gordon.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Boy, we've had some...
I love being on your show because, you know, you're always open to bringing out these mysteries and these questions.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that goes through life thinking everything's all set and everything's been figured out, they're really lying to themselves.
Yeah, we have a flash message and a call, and we're almost out of time. The flash message from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Very good show, and the music was great. Thanks, Kevin. You're welcome, Leonardo. And thank you for the flash message. All right, caller, you'll have to be very fast, but your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mark from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Gordon.
Anyone that goes by...
Now, just quick, since I only have a couple of seconds here, on the jar or the jewelry box... it does look like a ram, and if you look really close, you see legs on it. It's like a round body.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the tail end of it, you'll see a like a half dome with some light in there. And you can see the center, the dark area, so there's fat legs on there.
Uh-huh.
your first.
Yeah. Do you see the? Do you also see the serpent with the open mouth?
Omar? Yes, I see that.
Hello.
Pretty cool,
now,
huh?
But the one thing that confuses me about this is there's no dirt on it hardly. It's not dusty. So how long has it been sitting there?
Yeah, good question. Maybe they lost it last week.
Well, like I said, down at the bottom of this crater, they don't get a lot of wind now. If there's a storm up above, it would settle dust down. But maybe there is rain or moisture down there. I mean, maybe there's a dew. It's hard to say, you know. But it is a good question because you look at other things, and they look like they could have been there for 5 million years under dust.
Yeah, this looks like it's brand new.
Mm-hmm. Mark, did you happen to catch the show where I showed the picture of the herd of animals crossing Mars?
No, I missed that one.
Well, this thing on top looks like what's in that herd.
Storm up above.
Wow.
But maybe there is rain.
You know, and one of the other callers earlier mentioned also the rocks around this item are flat. And those are not natural rocks. If there is, there's like a slate or something there. But, I mean, they look like bricks.
Yeah. Mark. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you do have that in nature. I mean, sometimes you do.
Crossing.
Mm-hmm. So, but one thing I can say is sometimes you do have rocks that look like that in nature. Never does nature produce a bowl like this.
Wow.
No.
But it could be a Chinese wedding candle.
It might be.
You know, could you say that the animal on the top of it is a bison? A buffalo?
It might be. It might be.
But, I mean, they look like brick.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, thanks for the call, man.
All right, thank you.
All right. Gordon, thank you for being with us. Stay online with me for just a minute. I'd like to talk with you right after the show. And ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time. You see, the music has started. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again.